Super Talk Mississippi Media Production. You're listening to Thunder and Lightning on Super Talk Mississippi, covering Mississippi State sports like nobody else. With Sports Talk Mississippi's Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk of On3 Sports. Now get ready for Thunder and Lightning.
It's Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk Mississippi. Brian Haydad and Robbie Falk here with you on a Thursday morning. Thanks for joining us here at supertalk.fm or wherever it is that you get podcasts from. We appreciate you guys out there, our great listeners, especially our servicemen and women out there taking care of us. I want to thank our sponsors over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse and Churn and Spoon Ice Cream. Start your day the right way with a trip to the drive-thru over at Strange Brew Coffeehouse here in Starkville or at Brupolo over in Tupelo. It would be a little weird, Robbie, if Brupolo was in Holly Bluff.
That would be extremely weird. I thought you were going to go Holly Springs there, but Holly Bluff.
Holly Bluff. Nah,
there's a big difference between springs and bluffs.
Yes, 100%. So,
Holly Brew.
Brewly Bluff. I don't know, man.
Brewly Bluff?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can make all of those things work. We'll figure it out. Wherever you are in our great state, you can enjoy Strange Brew Coffee each and every morning. It's only a click away. It's at strangebrewcoffeehouse.com. The Mississippi Beef Council wants to remind you that beef is what's for dinner. Whenever you're cooking out, nothing beats the sizzle of beef on the grill. That's why the steak is the king of the grill. And if you're going to be cooking out this weekend, you need to throw some steaks out there. Doesn't matter what you're using, charcoal, propane, pellet grill, whatever it is, a steak is always the best choice. But if you don't want to do that cooking, that's not a problem either. There's so many great steakhouses in the state of Mississippi. You cannot go wrong at any of them. So don't. Go get you a steak and enjoy yourself. Beef, it's what's for dinner. Thanks to our friends, the Mississippi Beef Council. College Corner, collegecornerstore.com is the place to find the maroon and white merchandise that you are looking for, and you are looking for it. You need new gear. You need the M over S. You need the state script. You need the interlocking. They've got it at College Corner. Two locations to serve you in the Jackson area, originally by Fleet Feet, flowing by the Half Shell, or you can shop online at collegecornerstore.com. He's already gearing up for the podcast. He's already gearing it up for you. Just leave it right there. He just went, oh God. He's had that moment of trepidation of like, why?
That's just a daily reaction. I'm sure it's compounded by Mississippi State, but it's just a lot of different things that are probably playing in my head that just makes me rub my temples and wonder how much longer I'm going to be on earth, things like that.
I feel you. Restaurant Tyler might make you feel better. Maybe a trip to Restaurant Tyler is what you need. Some fried chicken, a little crawfish sauce on there, huh? You want to get some butter beans? You want to get some cornbread?
Do I? Yes.
Yeah, will that make you feel better?
Yeah, it would.
Well, then maybe we should do that sometime. I'm just saying. So,
yeah.
If you're feeling down and you're
thinking, I can turn it down.
Neither would I. If you're feeling down, a trip to Restaurant Tyler might be just the pick-me-up you need, because nothing makes me feel better than a great home-cooked Southern meal, and they have the best lunch in town at Restaurant Tyler. They have the best blue plate. That's what the South is all about when it comes to lunch, the blue plate. Grab you one at Restaurant Tyler. You will not be upset. You will be happy. And you can forget all about the things we're about to talk about in just a moment. Priority One Bank, 16 locations to serve you throughout Central Mississippi. Let PriorityOneBank.com be your guide. They'll show you not only where they're located, they're going to show you how they're going to help you invest, manage your money, and prepare for the future. Now more than ever, when you have questions about your money, you need answers. You need them done on your schedule, not somebody else's. That's why you need a bank that provides the level of service that you're going to get at Priority One Bank. Let Priority One Bank make you their priority. Well, I had my say last night. You got anything you want to say?
For what?
Anything? You got anything you can get off your chest?
Why?
Good.
Why?
Last night was one of those nights where I just thought, like, why couldn't my dad have been into movies?
I think that all the time. My dad was into movies,
but like more, You know, like, why wasn't he a bigger history buff? Something like that, you know?
Could I have not gone into the show business? Could I have not been a tap dancer? or a lounge piano player, or in the circus, or anything like that. Could I have not just done that? I talked to somebody the other day that was like, "So, what do you do now? Like, what's your job? What have you been up to?" And I was like, "Well, I write about sports. I cover Mississippi State, local high school sports." He's like, "Oh, I guess that's why I didn't really know what you were doing, because I don't really pay attention." I was like, "Man, lucky you.
You're so lucky.
If I had in my life no interest in sports whatsoever, it didn't exist to me, something happened and somebody told me about it and I was just like, that's cool, and just went about my day, I would be, I think, a much happier man. I'd probably have something else that would stress me out,
Yeah.
but not to
We're
this
married.
degree.
Got kids.
Yeah.
That's a
Not to
stressful
this
one.
degree. We have that on top of being married and having kids. And now I'm about to have Mississippi State baseball in the heat of SEC play with a newborn child. So that's going to be great.
I'm just
Can't
saying that
wait.
if you don't tell Juju that maybe you had a beer to calm your nerves a little bit, maybe none's the wiser.
No, it's not it. So if I mention that to my mom, her answer is going to be, "You don't need
That's what I'm
that."
saying. We don't mention it.
Oh, I never would. I would never do that. Hey, mom. Hey, I just wanted to let you know I'm going to have a drink real quick if you
But
don't
I'm
mind.
just saying, like, what she doesn't know isn't gonna hurt her.
Like the coach off of Waterboy that got the
Yeah.
Roy Orbison tattoo.
Exactly. Well, mama don't know. Won't hurt her.
Yeah, my sister
Practice.
got a tattoo whenever she turned 18.
You're not telling tales out of school here, are you? Mama knows
No,
about
she found out about it
it. Okay,
eventually,
okay.
but for years my mother did not know that my sister got a tattoo. And somehow she found out, and it was bad.
Now I gotta know which sister first off.
It's the middle sister, 100%. My oldest sister
Would never.
would never do
What
anything
is
like
the
that.
tattoo of?
I don't remember.
Oh, okay. Well, we'll just leave it at that.
I don't remember.
All right.
But it was, I was like 11 or 12 at the time. So she went on like a senior trip or spring break or something. You know how that
Oh.
goes.
Oh
And so
no.
she gets the tattoo, comes back. I find out about it, and I'm like, oh my gosh,
Did you
mom and
immediately
dad
run and
are
tattle?
you.
Did you go tattle?
No, I didn't.
Okay.
I did not. The only thing I ever did, I feel like, to my sister Miranda, that was just like shaking my head stuff, was, every now and then we would have our battles, and we gotten pretty close now. But when we were living in Texas, I was, I think, 5 or 6, five probably. And my sister was watching me at the house. My parents were at Kroger, where we lived, and my sister had said something smart to me, and I'm one of those, like, I'm gonna get the last word and all that, She said something smart to me. I went over and grabbed a 5-pound dumbbell, and I dropped it right on her head.
On her head.
Right on her head.
You could have killed her.
I could have killed her. Yeah. And she got, of course, her face was a crimson mask. By God, she's been busted in
You
half.
busted open your sister, your own
She
flesh
starts, she
and
just starts run. She gets up and just starts running up and down the hallway, like just going insane. And then called my parents are at Kroger, like, "Excuse me, Brother Rob Falk, can you please come to the front desk? Please, please come to the front desk." And like my sister's screaming in the phone
Yeah.
that she, so that he, my dad had to take her to the ER to get stitched up.
I'm gonna make not a prediction here. I'm just gonna make a guess. I'm gonna have to use some profanity. So again, Mama Falk, I'm sorry about this, but I'm gonna guess you got your ass toe up for that one.
Yeah, I did.
I bet you did. You
I got a
deserved it
lot of
though. You
those.
absolutely deserve that one. Yeah,
I
there's
feel
no
like,
looking back and saying I got done wrong on that one.
no, I got it good.
Oh my
It
gosh.
strangely, I don't think that whipping was as
Away from
bad.
your sister's head.
I don't think that one was as bad as when I ran away from home to go to the wrestling match at the Louisville Coliseum.
You told that story. Yeah,
I think that one was worse. That was probably the worst, like, spanking I've ever got in my life. But yeah.
I love.
Should we just tell stories about our life instead of talking about Mississippi State?
I just love because Brother Rob, Big Daddy, he's such a gentle soul, right? I mean, you know, because I get to see that side of him, and he's always laughing and in a great mood, and you know, so filled with the spirit. I never got to see the other side, and I thank goodness for that. That's a big man. He got a big old meat pan for a hand there, come across the side of you.
Yeah, his hands were strong.
Yeah.
And you know, I'd get a belt. One time he walked down the stairs with a boat paddle. I was like, "What are you gonna do? Are you gonna hit me over the head with that? That's not even that can't even fit on my butt cheeks. You can't even slap my butt with that butt paddle. You're gonna have to slap me over the face with that." I was like, "What are you about to do with that?"
What did he do?
He just threatened me. And one of the funniest ones was like, you know, just like you, you've only seen one side of my dad.
Exactly. I only know the good side. Yeah.
My friends from church, they only know Brother Rob in the pulpit. I'm in junior high or high school.
Uh-huh.
And I always have friends over watching TV, watching movies, grilling out, swimming, all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so, my mom had asked me, five times to go take out the trash. And, I was always so disrespectful to my mom. And she was actually the one that would beat me the most, usually.
That sweet lady. Come on now.
Oh, she was tough. So she just kept asking me to take the trash out. I'm like, "Mom, my friends are here. I'm not taking the trash out right now." Well, eventually, my dad had just heard enough of it. And he just walks in there and is like, "Hey, guys, sorry you have to hear this. Robbie, get outside right now and take that trash out." And everybody's like, "Brother Rob, what?" He apologized before he did it. "Hey, guys. Hey,
he apologized?
Hey, gang. Sorry you got to hear this, gang, but
so,
get your tail outside right now."
I think my sixth grade year, my mom and I, we lived in an apartment complex that had a pool. Mm-hmm. And so one day after school, I was like, "Hey, why don't we all go over to the pool? Me and my friends," right? So it's like me and four of my friends. And for some reason, my mom came home early that day, and she freaked out. She was like, "Oh, my God, why are they here? Get them out of here." And she's just going nuts, right? And I'm like, what's the problem? We can all swim. You know, there's other people here. If we had some trouble, we'll call for help. And she was like, "What if I wasn't here?" And I've never been more bold, but I looked right at her. I was like, "You can't swim. You're afraid of the water. You don't know how to swim. What are you going to do?"
She would just call for help, I guess.
They just do the same thing we would do. I've never understood. She was so mad. I may have taken a whipping on that one, too. Oh, well.
Oh,
all right.
Man.
Speaking of taking a whipping, what a segue. You want to do? Let's do baseball first. Because the fact of the matter is, yesterday, Tuesday, was a bad loss. You know, a game that, when you look at the box score, there are parts of it where you go, "How did they lose?" And then you find the stat, the left on base stat, and you're like, "Okay, that's how they lost." But what I said on Monday and Tuesday shows still rings true, and that's, if State goes 3-1 this week, if they go to Houston and win these three games, it doesn't matter. It does not matter they lost this game to Troy. And both of their losses thus far, while disappointing, are not I guess two things can be true at the same time, right? They're disappointing losses because, as a Mississippi State fan, you expect your team to be able to beat Sun Belt teams. You just do. And if you're a USM fan is listening and gets offended by that, I can't help you. The same thing would be true if USM fans would expect their teams to beat, you know, SWAC teams or Delta State.
I mean, USM lost by 7 last night, 7 runs to Ole Miss.
Ole Miss, yeah. That's going to become another issue for us throughout the season, by the way. If Ole Miss is actually good, that's just another thing we're going to have to deal with. But regardless of that. But so that's one thing. But the other side of the coin is, you lost to two teams that are likely going to be NCAA tournament teams, right? So you lose some of those games in baseball. That happens. And if you win 3 this weekend, you're fine. Mike, my question is, it's the same question we had this time, you know, last year, when they had already lost 4 games. It's how do you expect to win a lot of games in the SEC when you can't win some of these games? And to their credit last year, they did that. They won 17 SEC games despite starting out with six non-conference losses before conference play started. But when you watch this team, Robbie, do you see more of what you saw last year in a team that can be good and be a postseason team, or do you see more of the shadow of the previous two seasons where they weren't good at all?
I think it's just it's kind of a guessing game right now, just because it's so early. And we're going to talk a little bit about this when we talk about basketball too. It's so hard for fans. It's not just this fan base; it happens everywhere. Mm-hmm. To just look at games as they are, like everything's got to be a big picture. Everything's got to be, you know, the fire Lamonis, fire Chris Jans. Chris Jans ain't going to work out. Like, people just can't look at games like for what they are. Mm-hmm. Or like in a baseball season, they can't just say it's early. We don't really know. There's a lot of games to be played. There's a lot of opportunities. It's a long season. Like, it's just, it's tough for people to have those thought processes. And I've kind of, like, in recent years, kind of stepped back and I've moved towards that thought process of it's a long season, and it's going to be tough to figure out what this team is until they get into SEC play and really start to get going. I'm not all that concerned with this team as a whole. Like, I'm just not. I've seen enough of them so far. I see some of the pieces that could make this a really good team. They had 13 hits last night against what I would consider above average pitching for, like, the non-conference schedule that Mississippi State usually plays. They had a starter that was commanding the fastball pretty well, 95, 96, was pretty darn good, I thought, in the first three innings or so. He tailed off a little bit as the game wore on and State kind of figured him out second time through. But I thought he started the game really well, and he was confident. He wasn't really nervous or anything like that. I thought that was a good arm. Mm-hmm. I thought that was an arm more akin to what you will see in the SEC.
I mean, he was in 95, 96.
95, 96. They brought in a reliever from the right side that was throwing 96, 97. And the lefty that they brought in had a sinker, was their best lefty pitcher, and was a solid guy. He wasn't throwing a lot of strikes. And State at times didn't, they weren't able to lay off of it. But I didn't think the pitching for Troy, talent-wise, was what some people were kind of comparing it to. So that was a little bit better arms than what you're going to see in non-conference play, and State really had a big offensive day. The problem was every single time Hunter Hines came up to the plate was in a big moment. I think four out of the five at-bats that he had was with runners on base, two outs, whatever. The one time he came up that wasn't that situation was right after Noah Sullivan's grand slam. Mm-hmm. So the problem for Mississippi State yesterday, it wasn't that the offense just was poor, they couldn't hit. That wasn't the problem. They were hitting, they were getting on base. It's that they weren't coming through in big moments, and most of those moments were Hunter Hines. And I hate to single him out, but that's the giant elephant in the room right now. He had a really poor end of the season last year. He decided to come back this year because he wasn't drafted. And your expectations for him should be high. Yeah, I mean, this is a veteran hitter. It's a huge piece of your lineup. He's seen a lot of pitching over the years, and he's coming up empty in those at-bats. And they just weren't good at-bats. I mean, he struck out three times, I think, three or four times. So that was big. So I look at it as you have a problem right there with Hunter Hines in the middle of your order. And I know Chris Lemonis thinks a lot of him. I know he owes him a lot because over the years he's hit a lot of home runs. But at the end of the day, Lemonis has got to do what's best for this lineup and best for this team. At worst, he's got to move down the order. You can't continue to have him come up in those moments. And Lemonis mentioned it. I asked him about Hunter after the game and just what he thought he was seeing from Hunter that was leading to these situations. And he feels like he's pressing a little bit. He's just putting a lot of pressure on him. I think the best thing to do is slide him down the order. He is a premium first baseman right now. He's making plays that a lot of guys can't make. And he is, I think that has to be talked about, as he has greatly improved his defense at first base. And
he that's not a good, I mean, they had to put Luke Hancock over there.
Yeah. But that's a huge, that's a huge thing to have as a first baseman that can dig it out, that can stretch, that can, he makes plays on line drives that are really good. I mean, he made the diving catch going in the dugout against Virginia. He's a guy that saves runs, saves outs. You need him on the field, and you need him in the lineup. But you cannot have this black hole in the middle of the lineup like that, where all these guys are getting on base. Garrett Fry was on base three times. Noah Sullivan was on base three or four times. You know, Highfield got on base a couple of times. And then you're just leaving them there. And that can't happen. Those are the guys that are going to be on base more often than anybody else. That's why they're at the top of the order. You can't have a guy in the five hole that can't bring him in. Four and five's got to be able to drive people in. Noah Sullivan does. And he had a tough at bat in the eighth inning. And Joe Coleman was sitting next to me, and I told him, like, I'm almost assured that he's going to get a run home, whether it be a fly out, a walk with the bases loaded. I just did not see him coming up empty, and he had a 3-1 count. He ended up striking out. He was very upset with himself, but I can't blame Noah Sullivan. He got him four runs on one hit. So I see an offense that has tremendous potential. Reed Stallman looks like a dude that you can really rely on. I look at it, and there's not a whole lot of holes in this lineup when you look at the whole group. But you got a big piece right there, and Hunter Hines is just not hitting right now, and that's the biggest issue for me. And then, you know, pitching wise, I think State's going to have the guys. I've seen enough of the arms that have come out. I think when it all comes together, they're going to have the guys to compete in this league. So I'm not one of those people that thinks that this is going to be a terrible team and Chris Lemonis is going to get fired mid-year and things like that. I think this is going to be a pretty good team. I just think right now you're trying to mix and match pieces from this depth that you built in the offense, and you haven't had a chance to have guys really settle in yet.
One thing about Hines that I feel pretty confident in saying is whatever it takes to get him out of the lineup, Chris Lemonis is going to go all the way to that point. There will never be, he will not be premature with that. What he considers premature, you know, the average fan right now might already have Hines out of the lineup.
Mm-hmm. I think first things first, you got to just slide him down.
Yeah, I agree. You got to move some guys, move some pieces around in the lineup, and try to find something. You know, I thought when they hit that grand slam, I was like, okay, they're going to figure this out. And, you know, going into extra innings, I felt better about State's pitching. Like, if they got into extra innings, I felt like State would have more arms to throw out there to win. Because this was a game that was worth winning, right? This is a game that you come back to in a few weeks, maybe in a couple of months, and you're like, all right, Troy's actually a really good team. That would have been a good win to have. And I just felt like State would be able to outlast them at that point. But then you make a mistake and you give up the home run ball and you end up losing the game. And even then, I mean, you've got, you know, second and third with two out and just couldn't bring anybody home. That was a tough pill to swallow for Mississippi State baseball. But again, and the point that we keep coming back to is if they can win these games this weekend, and these are winnable games, you know, Arizona is not ranked any longer. They dropped that after the first weekend. They lost 2-1 to Ole Miss. In that tournament that they played in, I guess that I think they've already been, oh, was that in Arlington? I think that was a Globe Life.
That was a Globe Life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, Oklahoma State's been a little up and down this year. They fell out of the D1 poll, I believe, or Baseball America. They fell out of one poll. I don't know which one it was. Rice is not very good. That program is just not what it used to be.
And Arizona hasn't really lived up to the hype preseason.
But you can win these games. These are winnable games. And I'll tell you, if State wins all three games in this series, they're going to feel great. They're going to feel like they're in good shape. They'll be 9-2. This time a year ago, you already had four losses. You look ahead to next week. You have a tough one on Tuesday with Southern Miss coming up here. But then you play this Queens team, and I'm not going to, you know, try to disrespect anybody, but my goodness, that's a team you should sweep.
And you need to sweep that one.
So even if you lose to USM again, which, you know, from a rivalry and living in state standpoint, you don't want to do that. You don't want to have USM having both wins over you. But if you're 12-3, you're fine. absolutely fine. Then you play your last two non-conference games down there on the coast, and you go into conference play, and you've created a resume that looks like it's going to be a host if you win the games in the SEC you're supposed to win. So way too early for panic stations, but at the same time, I understand the frustration of the average fan who – because I think that at this point it's safe to say State fans aren't mad that they lost the game yesterday. They're mad that they won a national title and have done nothing with it. That's what all this frustration comes from, that everybody, every Mississippi State fan, and I'll be honest with you, anybody in college baseball who's being honest will tell you that when State won that last game and won the national title, the thought process was, here they go. This program is about to take off. They're going to put together a good run. They're built to win multiple national titles. And instead, the bottom fell out. You go back-to-back seasons, not even making the SEC tournament. And then last year, you get back into postseason play, but it's a regional exit, and you didn't even host. Mississippi State fans are ready to get Mississippi State baseball back to where it's supposed to be, competing for the College World Series. And so that frustration, it bleeds. They just want to have a good run. If this team could be or could have been, I think, well, they're going to play 12-3. They're going to play, like, what, 16 games, 15 games before the start of college. If they had been 14-1, dropped one game, nobody cares. Everybody's happy. Everybody's fine. But when you drop three or four of these games, the frustration just builds and builds, and it's like, why can't they win these games? You know, especially when you think about Lemonis's first couple years here, he was so good in non-conference. That's basically how he built the team into, you know, that, and was good in conference play. When you combine those two things, you will host. That's just where this frustration comes from. It's just a frustration that's built up over three or four years now, and people are just ready for Mississippi State to get. It's not even take another step. It's just to get back to where they were.
Yeah, the pressure is just – it's cooking right now. Like, Lemonis can't breathe. The players can't breathe because the fan base is tired of being mediocre or bad like they were those 2 years after the national championship. That when you have those two seasons, you lose any grace that you had with the fan base. It's gone.
Yeah.
And last year was a nice step in the right direction. Last year got you back into postseason. You felt like you got screwed on the regional host thing. So you can certainly make a case that State should have hosted so that they should have been where they wanted to be. But you don't even have to make a case if you take care of those games in the midweek and you take care of some of those non-conference games that they lost. So that's why the fans are like kind of freaking out. You go to Southern Miss, you don't score a run. You play Troy, you strike out 20 guys, and you lose. You out-hit them 13-7. You know, basically, all they did on offense was solo home runs, and they had the big inning on JT Snorer that was, you know, kind of unraveled a little bit. That's all they did most of the game. The majority of the game, State's pitching dominated Troy's hitting. They got a hold of three balls for home runs. And then, like I said, they had the big inning in the fifth, I think. State's pitching dominated, and you lose the game. That's the frustration with the fans, and they're just tired of this. I completely get it. But that's going to be the case all year. The pressure is going to be on. You need to host. You need to host. I talked about this on another podcast a few weeks ago. And, like, I don't think hosting is the difference in Chris Lemonis keeping his job, but you've got to show that you're making progress, or this fan base is just going to completely wash their hands of this.
It's not the end all be all, because if you don't host but you go to the College World Series, who cares, right?
Or you go to a Super League.
But you and I both know that the easiest path to those things is by hosting. So what I would say is this. If Chris Lemonis' season ends in a regional that's not in Starkville, there's going to be some questions at. I don't think that's unfair, you know, because you're talking about that's been 4 years where you haven't hosted a regional at Mississippi State. And I say it all the time, and some people tell you, well, State's only hosted so many times, and it's kind of y'all's perception is out of whack. My perception of this program changed when that new stadium opened. That stadium was built to be full every late May, early June with postseason baseball. And so if you're going to go 4 years without putting a regional in there, that's an issue for me, and it should be.
And you won a national championship, and you haven't hosted since.
You haven't capitalized on winning a national title. It's tough. It's tough to get around. So we'll see what happens this weekend. We'll talk more about this this tournament out there in Houston on tomorrow's podcast. All right, let's move into the rest of the show. That's brought to you by our friends over at Two Brothers Smoked Meats in the heart of the Cotton District is the place to find the smoked Southern soul food that you are looking for. Hey, Robbie, what are you doing tomorrow?
I'll be in Jackson.
You gotta go to Jackson, don't you?
Yep.
This guy, just done.
Yeah.
Well, it's fine. But soon, a trip to Two Brothers. Or the older brother. We haven't been to the older brother in a while, and I tried to get you the last couple times, and you're like, "Eh, I got you." Because not that you don't love the older brother, just that you knew you were going to be eating a burger or a sandwich later that day, and you're like, "I don't want to double up on that." Oh, it's fine.
I'm trying to cut down the bread intake just a little bit.
Bread's delicious.
I'm gaining weight.
I love bread. Bread is good.
It is good. It's also not great for you.
It's
large amounts.
The Italians eat bread every day. Look at them. Except for Tony Soprano. Don't look at him.
Yeah, please don't.
All right. If you want to enjoy fantastic food in Starkville, Mississippi, a trip to the Cotton District makes it really easy. Two Brothers Smoked Meats and the older brother right there in the heart of the Cotton District. Go grab you some smoked Southern soul food or a fancy sandwich. Great products, great service. Every business likes to promise it to you. They deliver it to you at Advantage Business Systems, and they've been doing it for 50 years.
50.
Oh. Maybe I should use the I finally got the clip. It's a little more excited.
Just a call for excitement right now.
I don't know.
I mean, Advantage Business Systems does, but
if you need new technology for your business, Advantage Business Systems will take care of that for you. They will give you a great name brand product at a great price. Most importantly, they're going to take care of you after the sale. And that's what a lot of people, you know, they sell you that copy or that new printer, and they're like, okay, great. If you have any problems, let us know. You can't let them know. They don't know anything. Advantage Business Systems, you call the same people back, you talk to the same people, and they get the problems taken care of. A lot of times the same day, because they're in Mississippi just like you. 601-362-9192, or you can visit them online, absms.com. Find out how Advantage Business Systems will help your business do business. Before your next excursion to Davis Wade, to Duty Noble, to the Hump, wherever it is, make sure you're making a trip to Maroon & Co. If you need new gear, and again, we have established already that you do, then Maroon & Co. is the place in Starkville to get it. Nobody has a bigger or better selection. Nobody has more unique items. Nobody has all of the stuff you need to show off that Mississippi State fandom like Maroon & Co. does. Use our promo code THUNDER15 to save 15% off regular price. Some exclusions do apply. During your next trip to Starkville, make sure you head over to Maroon & Co. I'm going to come clean about the basketball thing. Second half, I didn't really watch. Just I had it on the laptop. I'd look over every now and then. I'd see they were still down 25, 30 points. So I watched the Lakers game. The Mavericks on Tuesday. This was an NBA game. Now, if you're not an NBA fan, and judging by my mention, some of you aren't, you should know that in the NBA, they have a 24-second shot clock, not a 35-second shot clock. And they play 48 minutes, not 40 minutes. So there's a lot more opportunity for scoring in the NBA. Final score of the game between two NBA teams was 107-99. What does that mean? It means that two NBA teams scored less than Alabama did.
Yeah, and that was Alabama's best offensive game of the year.
Let me make the noise if you don't mind. 22 made three-pointers. That's just gross. So we talked earlier about baseball. And if they win the next three games, nobody really cares. And with basketball, it's kind of the same thing, right? They're locked into the NCAA tournament. Although, no matter how much some people on your message board want to try to logic their way out of it, they're locked in. They're going to the NCAA tournament. There's no question about that. I think this is one of those two things can be true again things. Yeah, they're going to go. This is the most frustrating good team I've ever covered. They are no fun. This is the least fun I've ever had watching a team win the majority of their games.
It's like a it's a cruel joke, isn't it? Like Jan's, he has these two teams the last 2 years, and they just cannot score. Mm-hmm. Outside of Josh Hubbard, they just can't. They can't score.
Mm-hmm.
But their defense was fantastic, so it was hard to watch at times. It was really hard to watch in some ball games because they just couldn't score. They could hold their own on the defensive end, but they never were. It never felt like they were in the game against some teams like Alabama and teams like that. So he goes out and he goes and tries to get offensive players, and now they can't play defense. And on top of that, they have moments where they can't score either. So it's like, it's just been kind of like, it's been kind of a trudge to get through for 3 years. Like there's been some very high highs and some fun moments, but the bulk of it is, you know, at times it's ugly. And for this team, it feels uglier than the last couple because, like I say, like they just don't have that defensive mentality that they've had. And you go from those two games where it really felt like you were turning the corner and they showed the potential that they have defensively. Now you've had the last three halves of basketball, you get up 170 points.
That's an insane number.
It's just it's despicable. It's just like some of the worst teams in college basketball are not giving up those point totals that Mississippi State's given up. You give up 90-plus against Oklahoma, who, you know, give them a little bit longer, they probably could have gotten to 100.
Mm-hmm.
And you give 111 to Alabama and 22 three-pointers. And they, on top of that, they made 49%. They almost hit half of their three-pointers.
Yeah.
And they shot 45.
Yeah.
And the same guy who you knew you couldn't let beat you hit 7 three-pointers again.
Mm-hmm.
He has not done this against anybody else. All those Bama fans came after me, my mentions in that game last time these two teams played, when I said this is an outlier game for Youngblood, that he hasn't done this against anybody else. He won't do this against anybody else. They all came after me. Oh, he was the AAC player of the year. He does this against everybody. He's done it against nobody else.
Yeah.
He has not made more than 3 three-pointers against a single team this year. He has not had 20 or more points against anybody. Good three-point shooter. He's hit some shot, good big shots for him. He hasn't done this against anyone. Mm-hmm. He is 14 of 21 in two games against Mississippi State. He was 7 of 10 the first time. 7 of 10 the first time his two teams met, and they still let him get wide-open shots. Whatever's going on defense, whatever system they're running, whatever it is, that's got to be completely scrapped. Because if you face a team like this the rest of the year, you're probably going to lose. That's where it is right now with Mississippi State. They cannot stop good three-point shooting teams from hitting shots.
The good news for State is the next three games are against bad three-point shooting teams.
Yes.
That's great news. And you should.
And I promise you, the team will look different in those games than they do against the Alabamas and the Kentuckys and the Tennessees. And it's not just because those teams are better teams. It's because of what they do. You actually strengthen what they do.
Yeah.
With that defense. If you give a good three-point shooting team good looks, they're going to make
hit them.
Even bad teams are hitting them against Mississippi State. They're just not hitting enough of them because they're bad.
Yeah. Just a rough, rough day being a Mississippi State fan on Tuesday. There's just no getting around that. I will say this, and it doesn't excuse the nature of the performance, but nobody when the schedule was put out, you know, everybody's like, all right, at Tuscaloosa, probably not. Don't think that's going to be a win. It's just that you lose by 38. You know, that's a bitter, bitter pill to swallow. So
it somehow felt worse than that 05 game.
Yeah, I was going to go back to that. That game was miserable. This one felt worse, especially if you the first like 2 minutes of the game, 3 minutes of the game. State was flying around on defense and forcing turnovers. They couldn't score, though. They could have easily been up like 8 or 10 points in the first 5 minutes, and then Bama starts settling in and making shots, and that defense fell apart. And when Hubbard got the second foul, I mean, it was just, yeah, it just.
You know what Mississippi State's going to do in a game by what they do in the first five,
Yeah, you really do.
You can tell quickly what you're going to see from Mississippi State in that game. Usually,
yeah, I agree. So, all right, we'll talk a lot more about that on tomorrow. We'll talk about
did we spend enough time? Did we spend enough time on
I think we'll be okay.
Okay. 0 minutes spent so far on women's basketball. Who plays Vic Schaefer? Well, I just got 30 seconds in. I'm sorry.
Goodness gracious. Going to get us canceled. Taken off the air. That kind of thought. I do want to talk more about that game on I guess we'll do Future Brian on that one because I do want to talk about that game. Mississippi State. I mean, they're playing the number one team in the nation. So we'll recap that on tomorrow's podcast, plus preview Mississippi State LSU and a look ahead to this tournament out there in Houston. And we'll get some baseball talk on tomorrow's show as well. Guys, have a great Thursday. And Robbie and I will be back with you on Friday. For Robbie Falk, I'm Brian Haydad. Thanks for listening to Thunder and Lightning here on Super Talk, Mississippi.
Mississippi Media Production.